And welcome to another edition of Podcast Quincy's City View with Mayor Tom Koch. I'm Mark Carey, as media director. Happy to be in this position, Mayor.
I don't know how you do the mic and doing that music at the same time. You're pretty talented, Mark.
It's a skill that only few of us possess. But happy to be here with you today. Happy to be with you for a lot of the day today, actually, because we were at the ribbon cutting or the opening of the Staybridge Holiday Inn Express, which is a really nice hotel.
Yeah, they did a nice job. That's the site on West Squanum Street, the corner of what is formerly Arlington Street and about to become Stratton Way, the old working site, which for those of folks that aren't familiar with that area, way back when, sound like my father now, when I was a kid, but that whole area was very industrial. You had a lot of industrial sites, Durell Steel and Mass Engineering, and before the towers were there that O'Connell built, the Sagamore Towers and that other apartment building, it was all industrial, that whole area, foundries, so forth. So the working site was very, very contaminated, so they took them a couple of years to get that site cleaned before they were able to put it on the market and sell it. And the hotel looks great. It's a beautiful job. They're doing well so far. I was talking to the manager today and asking them, you know, what kind of folks were coming, with a reason for coming and staying here. And, you know, much of it right now is the overflow of Boston. You know, they're just shy of Neponset here. It's a couple of minutes to get in town. So that seems to be the biggest part of it. So whatever it is, we'll take it. I mean, I love hotels because they pay taxes twice. They pay property taxes and they pay a room tax, which helps us to fund a lot of the park projects that people see around the city. So it's a great thing to have. And of course, you're hiring people and it adds to the economy. So that corner's changing drastically. They did a nice job. And the apartment house is going up across the street right between there and Newport Avenue Extension. And that was, when we were kids, that was the Hancock Paint. It was a paint factory. And subsequent to that, it was a number of other industrial uses. So that area wasn't very pretty aesthetically.
Yeah.
And the ground was pretty messy. So we're getting a lot of cleanup done, the environmental issues being addressed at the same time. And so the area, I mean, you're right near the North Quincy T station. And so the apartments, I think, will do very well there. They're right on a main drag. They're not in a neighborhood. I know I hear from people, you know, too much development. But this is where you want it. You want it on the spine by the track.
Mm.
I think they're going to do quite well. So looking forward to, they're going to have a grand celebration opening sometime in September. And then, of course, we're working with the hotel to dedicate the street. I know we talked about Dick Stratton before. We'll have a date sometime in late September where we'll do the formal dedication honoring Dick Stratton and his family and all of his heroics as a veteran of the Vietnam era, captain in the U.S. Navy, remarkable individual. So we'll have more to follow on that. So it's changing that whole area quite a bit.
Yeah, it was a nice event and a really nice hotel. Yeah, it's a great place. I mean, it's just an addition to the city that's really exciting.
It is. I was quite impressed with the quality of the place. I really was. I know that, over the years, the hotel changed. Names change, and they're associated with different groups, and we want to make sure we wanted a quality hotel, you know. We haven't had the Ritz in many years now. We don't want the Ritz back. So those of you who don't remember the Ritz, that was on Hancock Street.
And that's all we'll say about the Ritz.
That's right.
The Ritz Motel, yeah. Right, exactly. Well, this is a beautiful place, the architecture and the decor. It's really beautiful. It looks like a beautiful high-end hotel in Boston for a lot less.
Yep.
That's great. Nice event. Thanks, Mayor. And, this podcast has been getting lots of listeners, as we've discussed before. And now you can, I just wanted to let the people know, your audience know, that you can now order the podcast via Alexa. So it's now, you can just say, Alexa, play me Podcast Quincy. And that's what it's called. It's available on a lot of different platforms, Mayor, from iHeartRadio to Spotify to...
Oh, sure, of course.
You know what I'm talking about,
sure,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's all right. We take care of it, though. It's on about 10 different platforms, but tell your friends about it. It's a way to find out. You know, a friend of mine walked up to me, and I know that you've had the same experience, where they said they love to listen to the podcast because they're finding out what's going on in the city at the moment,
yeah,
and getting it right from the source, getting it right from the mayor.
Getting the facts. Yep.
Yeah, and it's a nice way to do it, a nice thing that you could share with your friends or people that you know that listen to it. Now, if you have Alexa at home or the Echo, whatever you call it in your household, if you care to have one of those, just say, Alexa, play me Podcast Quincy, and it'll play the latest episode. So that's a nice little thing I wanted to add and let the folks know that. So let's move on to more issues.
Yeah, you're cutting into my time now.
Sorry, man. This is your time. This is all your time. Let's talk about the old Quincy Hospital, which was been no longer there and had. First of all, let's discuss that. Let's talk about what the plan is, what's going up there, history of it.
Sure. I think we've talked a little bit about this in the past, but it's certainly very relevant as I'm out there about, and people are asking me questions about it, and there's been a number of meetings before the planning board. This is the old hospital site on Whitwell Street. You know, it was a municipal hospital till 1999. The city lost money every year, spun it off to a nonprofit. They lost money every year until they went bankrupt. Stewart bought it, which I never understood how they could make it a for-profit institution, and they couldn't. So they went out of business, and then we asked the Attorney General to make sure that they kept an ED in the city, in which they do. So they've operated a satellite ED up there. Now, time has gone by. Fox Rock Development bought the site. They did some analysis and did some marketing, and there was no interest by any major hospitals in the area to do a hospital there. There was interest to do a behavioral hospital / substance abuse type facility there that I know the neighborhood would not have been interested in. So having said that, you know, the site is about 15 acres. There's a number of buildings up there that have to come down. All of those buildings have to be mitigated so they get hazardous materials in them. So whether it's asbestos or lead or any number of other, you know, listed as hazardous, that's going to be dealt with. So that's going to be mitigated first. So there's the cost of the land. There's the cost of demolishing the buildings and the mitigation of those buildings. It's serious money. Now, under the zoning, they technically could build upwards of 1,500 units on that site. Which I never would, by the way, never would allow or even entertain. So they originally came in with a proposal of about 500 and I think it was about 590 units, that was frowned upon by the neighborhood. They had several meetings. They changed the whole design. They stepped it back from the property lines to give more space between the neighbors and their buildings, and they've dropped the unit count to 490. They're even talking maybe adjusting it down a little bit more. But what's interesting about this is they're not doing like one or two big massive square buildings. They're building a number of buildings up there. They'll be less tall than what is up there today with the hospital as far as stories go. And a number of the parking spaces will be underground up there, which is also unheard of today outside of Boston. Mm. That allows them to create more open space, more green space, and just give more livable space for the residents and the people that live in the area. So I like the direction they've gone in. I think that it's going to be a quality development. It's not a project where it's a developer coming in to flip it after getting permitted. This is a company that has been around a long time, and they're going to hold on to it. Mm. And so I know that my experience dealing with Fox Rock and the principles of Fox Rock, everything they do is done with quality, and they maintain things very well. So, you know, that's a beautiful location in our city. I know there's some people that think that we could probably just build like 15 single-family homes up there, but that's not practical and just not possible. So, you know, when I remind people that we had a hospital up there for many years, that there were 1,200 employees, it was a 24/7 operation. People coming and going, visitors coming and going, ambulance coming and going.
Hundreds every day.
The traffic for this project will be less than the third of what the hospital was.
That's an important thing to say, because that to me, that's a big difference.
It's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. So it's a very beautiful location, and they can walk down Hospital Hill to the MBTA station or the commuter rail. So there's a lot of reasons why people would want to live at that location. So it's still working its way through the planning board. There's another meeting coming up. And I expect the planning board will take some kind of a vote September or October, and then the project in whatever size it's going to be would then commence hopefully fairly soon with the obviously the removal of the buildings up there first. Now, we got to also figure out where that emergency department can go in another part of our city. Stewart has expressed interest in keeping it in Quincy. I don't hold Stewart, quite frankly, in high regard, because they told us a lot of things when they came here and didn't live up to those things. So we'll see what happens in that regard. But I will be fighting to keep an ED in the city, because I do think it's important to have one. Even though healthcare is changing, a lot of people go to the urgent care places, you still need that ED for certain emergencies and people to get stabilized, and then they can be you know, by ambulance, taken to another hospital in Boston. So we're watching that piece of it closely. But I think it's important for people to realize that this is, it's been described as the most dense project in the city. That is absolutely false. There's 15 acres up there. This is by far not the densest. In fact, you know, a couple blocks from my house is the Quincy Commons. The Quincy Commons was built in a neighborhood of Residence A. It was an old milk plant. It was taken down. They built apartments, like 260 apartments there on maybe 3 acres. I mean, so this is not by far the most dense project in the city. So, you know, and Quincy Commons, I see the people coming and going. They're going up Hollis Ave to get to the North Quincy T station.
Right.
So, and it's because of that. Now, today, that wouldn't be really looked upon as favorably because you're further into the Residence A neighborhood. You're not on Main Drag at all. But at the time, it was accepted and welcomed in the city, and it's a I think the Cochran Company runs it, and it's well maintained, well done. So you know, this site in Whitwell Street is a large site. It can accommodate the numbers that the Fox Rock is proposing, and I like what I see about the underground parking. I like what I see about the landscaping. There's going to be, I think, like 65% of the whole area is going to be open space when they're finished. That's pretty remarkable.
That's amazing.
So more than 8 acres of it will be open space. Mm. I listen to the residents. We've had meetings with some of them. I know that there's a great concern about it. We're dealing with all the other issues, stormwater, you know, whether we need to have a traffic light at the corner of Whitwell and Adams. Those are the things that will be worked through with a mitigation package if the project is approved. I think it's a decent project. I'm not necessarily, you know, saying this is the right number. I think the planning board has a little bit more work to do, but I think it's the right project. And I can remember from years ago working for Jim Sheets, the amount of complaints we used to get from the neighborhood about the hospital.
Right.
You know, whether it was a smokestack blowing soot out because they burned the worst type of oil you could, whether they're parking on side streets or the noise coming and going at night. I mean, there were always complaints. Now, hospital's been closed for a little bit of time, so people forget that.
Right, that's it.
But you know, this type of a project there is a very benign use that does not introduce noise, and it's really a minimal amount of traffic when you look at what was there before. Yes, we have some mitigation we'll work with them on the traffic stuff and perhaps some other things, but that's the latest. I stay tuned for those folks that are interested. I think there's going to be one more hearing at the planning and then probably another meeting with a vote that will be taken by the board at that time. So stay tuned.
Well, and that brings up a good point. I mean, I think it's really important to mention that there were just a few years ago when that was an open hospital, there were 1,200 employees working there with hundreds of people going in and out in ambulance. Correct. I'm saying it again, you just said it. But it also leads me to, let's talk about what we talked about before the podcast and development in the city. Getting the right project in the right place is really, really important. And you said
it is. It, you know, we are very hot right now, the city of Quincy. It's a hot marketplace. You know, with all the reinvestment in the Red Line, investors see that, so they are investing in the city. I support projects along the spine of the city, along the tracks, near the train stations. I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And I've had some people say to me, you know, well, where is all that money going, new taxes? And I tell people, that's why we're on our fourth school without a Prop 2.5 override. We're building seawalls. We're fixing infrastructure, fixing our buildings all across the city. We're leveraging federal and state dollars with our local dollars, and we're not nearly taxing to the max. That's how we do it. Somerville, for one school, had a Prop 2.5 override. Scituate, for a senior center, which we built a few years ago, had a Prop 2.5 override. Milton has Prop 2.5 overrides just for operational funds. So all this development helps us to reinvest in our infrastructure, to invest in our education, our schools, our firehouses. We're about to look at a new police and fire headquarters. We wouldn't be able to do this without this new growth. So I know there's growing pains, but look at it. If this was in the middle of a neighborhood, I wouldn't be supporting it.
Right.
You know, we got to be certainly respectful of our strong neighborhoods and vibrant neighborhoods, and the reason they are strong is because they have that great residential feel. But there are, you know, the other thing I want to make sure we clear up with people is, you know, the mayor doesn't control every parcel in the city. People say to me, well, you're building more condos. No.
How many condos have you built?
There are people that have property rights under the zoning. They're allowed and eligible to build certain projects as long as they live within the zoning of the city. So, you know, I know some of the councils are talking about tweaking the zoning, making some changes, because when the market's hot, that's when you see the extremes happen, you know. There's other times when you want to, you know, generate interest when the market isn't so hot. But things are going pretty well right now. We have a whole new department on traffic. We're investing in our traffic signalization system with all kinds of new computer software, which is helping. We're rebuilding intersections across the city. We're just about to underway. We are underway at C and Quincy Shore Drive. That whole intersection is going to be rebuilt, widened, and more queuing traffic a lot. So I understand. I hear from people on these issues. And if we didn't build another building tomorrow, traffic is going to increase. We had 1 million trips last year from Uber. 1 million trips in Quincy.
Amazing.
And if anyone gets behind an Uber, you see, you know, they just stop in a travel lane, put their flashes on, and you
double
know,
parked.
So anyway, they don't help with traffic. People are on their phones all the time texting at the traffic. How many times you're behind somebody at a red light, turns green, and you're waiting and waiting, and you finally beep, and oh, then they look up, and you lose, you know, 5 or 6 cars getting through that intersection at that time. So there's a lot of factors about the traffic situation. And the major factor is this. Whether we built another building or not, we are part of the metropolitan Boston area. So there's certain times of the day, whether you're in Braintree, Milton, Quincy, Hanover, Boston, it is what it is. It's that rush hour that's tough. We have a lot of people that cut through our city every morning to get to Boston because we're next to Boston. So we can't put a toll up and stop those people from cutting through. So we're working it hard. We got a great new department working it. And I think we can do a better job, and we are, of managing it, but we can't completely solve it.
We were talking a little bit about development a few shows ago, about we grew up with one-car households. Now, I mean, you have 3 kids. You know, we all have 4 cars, or 2 cars, or 3 cars in our household. It's no longer just a one-car household anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of my kids is away in the Marines, so he's not around with his vehicle, but my other 2 are home, and they both have a car. So my wife has a car, I have a car, my 2 kids have a car. So we get 3 in the driveway, that's all I can fit, and 1 goes in front of the house. And that's true. I mean, I was 1 of 7, and there was 1 car in the house. But now everybody's got a car. There's a lot of factors for that issue, and you know, nobody's going to be able to solve it very easily. But I think we're doing a much better job in managing it, and we're going the right direction, I think.
Okay, and how's this for a segue? You just mentioned cutting through Quincy. So people are going to be cutting through Quincy if this Long Island Bridge goes back up. We want to talk about that. We want to talk about why this Long Island Bridge. Let's remind people where we're at, where it is at in the litigation process. And
well, I don't know why you're laughing. I don't think it's a humorous issue, Mark.
Well, it is not a humorous issue. I'm laughing at my segue that I brought up, cutting through Quincy. And it made me think of the Long Island Bridge that Mayor Walsh is trying to build.
Yes. In fact, this past week in Suffolk Court, we had a little victory. What I said to the people of Squanum was that we were going to do everything in our power, and the people of Marina Bay, as a city, to do what we can to stop this project from happening. You know, and I get a little perturbed about these holier-than-thou people out there telling me that I'm the one holding up treatment for those that have addiction issues, which really aggravates me, because this city has done as much as any community for people that need help, for education, for enforcement, you name it. We got a lot more beds now than when I was first elected for people in treatment. We have a homeless shelter. We have group homes. We have incredible services for people in need, and I'm proud of that, and we should continue to do that. But why should the city of Quincy be, you know, the cut-through for Boston's operation on Long Island? We experienced that for years. It was nothing but headaches. The vans, the buses, the amount of traffic coming through a residential area. And by the way, if anyone's done that route out to Dorchester Street, you make that hairpin turn, it's pretty narrow and stuff out there. It's not really made for that kind of traffic. And, of course, when, you know, Boston announced, you know, Marty Walsh, who's a good man, but we absolutely disagree on this issue. I don't know why they can't look at a ferry. Thompson's Islands had programs out there for years. They get the kids out there by ferry. And they're getting the kids out there now at Long Island by ferry in the program that's conducted every summer for inner city kids. So the reality is they never took a serious look at ferry, and that's very disappointing. The mayor has never laid out what his plan is out there. I talked about addiction. Well, there's a lot of ways and a lot of programs, a lot of steps for the addiction. We don't know what he's proposing, number one. Number two is in a Globe story a few weeks back, he alluded to developing the rest of the island, which was not on the table before. Right. So now he's talking, which what we feared, talking about developing over 200 acres out there. How much more traffic is that going
to
generate?
With one way to get out there.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, one way in, one way out. So we had a little victory in the court this week in that the judge, Boston was asking for the judge to throw out a certain appeal about the MEEPR process, which, you know, the state DEP does an environmental review of these things. And basically, the judge agreed with the city of Quincy that we had some points that ought to be looked at more closely. So I think that we've slowed this down, and hopefully through some good discussion and dialogue, maybe we can take this another direction. At the end of the day, I don't know that we can stop the bridge from being built. I really don't. But we're doing everything legally, engineering, environmentally, that we can to raise these issues with all the right parties. And, of course, it's DEP, it's Coastal Zone, it's Army Corps, it's Coast Guard. There's a number of agencies this thing touches. So we're going to continue to fight and fight because, I, you know, in this day and age, water transportation in all kinds of coastal cities is exploded. It's the way to go. Yeah. It happens all over the world, but for some reason we can't figure it out here in Boston Harbor. It just doesn't make sense to me. And then, you know, the argument, the mayor said, well, we had an emergency out there. We couldn't wait for a boat. So, okay, you're going to wait for an ambulance come from Boston over the Neponset Bridge, down Quincy Shore Drive, out the causeway, Dorchester Street, Moon Island Causeway, Long Island Bridge, out to the island, get the patient and bring them back. I mean, that's absurd.
Yeah.
Now, I assume that they're going to have medical people on the island, so they'll be able to handle minor issues. And by the way, you have the, you know, the medical helicopters now that when there's an emergency, they're all over the Boston area. You see them flying all the time in and out of the hospital. So I really don't believe that that is a real issue. And I'm disappointed that Boston dismissed it the way they did, because Mayor Menino did a study a few years back that suggested the way to go in the future was ferry transportation for Long Island.
Yeah.
In one of the comments made in there, it would be the right thing to do for our neighbor south of us, meaning treating the city of Quincy with some respect for change from the city of Boston. You look at the history of Moon Island, Long Island, going back 100 years, you know, they didn't show much regard for their neighbor of the south. So I'm disappointed that the Walsh administration has not taken a closer look at that and the possibilities there. The number that Boston's thrown out is $93 million. I've heard from experts that bridge is going to be $150 million. The buildings out there need tens and tens of millions of dollars worth of work. So this is a multi-year program. You want to help the people that have issues. Now, there's got to be some places in Boston proper that can be retrofitted for far less money for these people to get the help they need.
And that's the point right there.
That's absolutely.
So $200-something million could build a few places throughout Boston if that's what you're really
talking
about.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other aspect of this is, you know, in many of the programs that I have, these folks are integrated into the community, you know, to get back into workplace and all that sort of thing. They're putting them on an island like it's a leprosy colony.
That's what they did in the 1800s.
Warehousing people out there to get them out of sight, out of mind. And I understand that view, too. There's probably a lot of business people saying to the mayor of Boston, hey, you got to clean these people off the streets. This doesn't look good. You know, this isn't good for investment. You know, I get that argument, but it's certainly not humane.
No.
And I think that, you know, this could be done and accomplished in a far more efficient, less costly way with a ferry service. And the dollar would go a lot further.
Well, thank you, Mayor, for the update on that. And I just wanted to mention before we head to the next week's podcast, or just head out here today, on the 28th of August, you're going to be making an announcement at City Hall Chambers. You have two announcements, actually, and we're going to just talk about for the first time here today. You'll be talking about your mayoral advisory committees that you've chosen for the Quincy 400 initiative that we're really excited about. We're sending out our first e-newsletter this week.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the Quincy 400, and we've made a lot of great progress in this. And we, as you know, Mark, you've been very involved in it. We've come up with six categories, and we're going to have some people chair each of the categories. And there's a number of people that have volunteered to be on the committee. We're looking at maybe 4 to 6 meetings in a year. And this is all about, again, back to the theme of where do we want Quincy to be.
That's it.
On our 400th. And I think there's a lot of discussion that'll be had, and it's exciting. And the other piece is that, you know, I engaged Bob Damon, who's a great historian, a great background, to do kind of a study on Quincy heritage and our sites that are in our control and some of the other historical sites in Quincy, and really to start to look at these as assets and how do we go forward prioritizing, maintaining them, improving them, et cetera. So there's going to be a lot to talk about that night. I think we're going in the right direction. And somebody said to me years ago, Quincy has great bones. And you know, we have not really maximized our potential, I think, as a community with our historical assets. And I think we're going in the right direction. And Quincy 400 is a part of that.
And that's exactly what actually a lot of cities and towns across America aren't doing. This is really laying the foundation for where that, you know, where we're at as far as that goes and all of our historic landmarks and buildings.
And it's far more than the history, too. I mean, we're talking about, you know, where do we want our education system to be? Where do we want the transportation system to be? Where do we want, you know, the cultural community? You know, we're talking about a performing arts center, those kinds of things. So there's all kinds of cool stuff that we're going to be talking about as a community. There's no right or wrong here.
Right.
It's a matter of great community discussions, dialogue, and prioritizing some projects going forward so that we meet the needs of our next generation and we can be proud of how we hand it off.
Absolutely. And Mayor, thank you very much. Looking forward to that. It'll be August 28th at 5:30 p.m. here in City Hall Chambers in the Old Town Hall. That'll be an announcement that I'm sure will be very exciting. We're looking forward to that. And finally, did you know that City of Quincy has 7 National Historic Landmarks, folks? National Historic Landmarks are building sites, districts, structures, and objects that have been identified as nationally significant in American history and culture. As of 2017.
We're not going to say who they are today. We're going to let you hang, folks, on that one. Think about it. Next week, we'll give you the answer.
That's the mayor doing a teaser. There are 2,596 National Historic Landmarks across the entire country, and we have a ton of them here. So that's going to be coming out also in our newsletter, our Quincy 400 newsletter that's coming out. If you want that, give us a call. The mayor always invites you to call here at 617-376-1990. If you have any questions at all about anything that's happening in your city, we'd be happy to do it. And tell your friends about Podcast Quincy City View with Mayor Tom Koch, as it'll be on every week. And this is our 23rd episode, Mayor.
Good day.
We'll see you next time.